And we're back once again, ladies and gentlemen, with that oh-so-very enjoyable bit of internet culture. We are Out of Context Theater. Now, this is a bit of an interesting episode. See, we are both episode 7 and episode 6 part B. It's very complicated. It happened that way for technical production reasons. And we're coming in a little bit too loud, so I'm just going to twist this little knob here and twist that knob there, and then everybody is happy. So we are doing our zombie apocalypse awareness time, during which we will be covering cheese. No, sorry, zombies. Joining me in the studio today, our freshly revamped studio. This is very nice.
Yes,
we got like
much better.
Yeah, we've got a table and we've got computers.
And there's coasters. I mean,
yeah, we are a super high class. Anyway, joining me today we have
Brian number one, but only because we have another Brian on the line as well.
Yes, coming at us live through the Skype-inating device to my left, we have.
I am the Foxable Brian.
Yes. So there are three of us today because, well, there were supposed to be more, but then suddenly there weren't.
I blame Easter.
Yes, that does happen. We are coming up on Easter Sunday, and that's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So for those of you with things out there, things to be doing, I wish you the best of luck of them. Try not to do stupid things you'll get caught with, unless they're really funny. In which case, bring a camera, because we are starved for entertainment, and I was going somewhere with that. It kind of got away from me.
Kind of got lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
lost in translation.
Yes, today we have changed the format of the show once again. We've got three 15-minute segments. That gives us enough time to have some content in there without going so long that we get, what's the word? Murdered.
Yes.
Yes, murdered by our audience. We try and avoid that here.
And suicide. Yes.
Well,
there was some suicide in the last show.
Yeah, last show got a little bit too much serious business. Yes. And we're not about that. We are Out of Context Theater. We are silly. It's what we do. So we've got, for those of you watching our web stream at ustream.com, you can search for Out of Context Theater, and we will pop right up as a live broadcast. Of course, if you're hearing this now as we're saying it, you're already there, so enjoy the redundant instructions. We were supposed to be going a little while ago. We hit some technical difficulties, but our show is now better than ever. Hello, Internet. How's it going?
Hello, Internet.
So, up on the docket for our first segment here, we've got Brian joining us through Skype with a very interesting list he'd like to share with you all tonight.
Yes, it is weird ways people die in America every year.
Now, just to be clear on this, last episode we did mention the Darwin Awards. This isn't just a list of people doing stupid things to remove themselves from the gene pool. Right?
No, this is accidental death, as in these people did not want to die.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'm with you so far. Let's have, say, the top three entries on the list.
Well, actually, I can go through the entirety of the list. It's not very long.
Okay.
Pretty much the pretext. Every year, nearly 120,000 people die from accidents. Over two-thirds of them are vehicle collisions or poisonings, but there are plenty of other unusual ways people hit the bucket.
Wait, poisoning is, like, number two? That's... Okay, that in itself is a bit surprising.
When considering poisoning, you also have to consider things like alcohol poisoning and things of that nature.
Well,
because that falls under the same statistic.
Okay, so what about if you get roaring drunk, find a cliff, and just run off the edge?
That would probably be somewhere along the list, but I'll go with the highest number to the lowest number of deaths related to this thing.
Okay, hit me.
Every year, 899 people die during falls from house furniture.
How exactly? I mean, are you just climbing a tower of chairs and suddenly you see, hey, there's a floor. I should dive into it.
I'm 90 years old. I'm going to get up from this couch. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that...
The second one is a little more makes a little more sense. 700 people die every year of excessive cold.
Cold. Okay. Well, that can make sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you get like
507
power goes out.
Yeah.
Okay. Power goes out. You're elderly. Something of that nature.
Yeah.
Next one is 573 people die from accidental suffocation and strangulation in bed.
Accidental strangulation.
How's that work?
Yep.
Moving on quickly.
533 people die of a fall out of a building. I would assume not the purposeful jumps, but probably people like cleaning windows.
I don't know. How do you really tell if somebody intentionally jumped out or not? I mean, it's a large building, and it's just suddenly there's
it's
a very,
hard to tell, but
very messy sidewalk.
Usually there's signs of a suicide attempt. Okay. 477 anyway. People die every year falling from a ladder.
The same ladder. One ladder, 477 people. I'm going to say they had it coming.
Don't use that ladder.
344 people die every year drowning or submersing themselves while in or falling into a bathtub.
I could see that.
Okay, yeah. Well, you've got an interesting list, but so far there's nothing really shocking or unusual. And
as the numbers get lower, the causes get weirder.
Okay, hit me with the top three.
Okay, I'll go with like the last six.
That is a larger number.
97 people die every year due to some form of ignition or melting of clothing and apparel.
Okay, so they caught themselves on fire to death.
Yeah, we're looking for something a little stranger. Like, let's pull up the strangest thing on the list.
Has anyone been beaten to death with a codfish?
That would be an interesting death.
Yeah, that's newsworthy.
I'll just pick my favorite three.
Okay, what you got?
Just my favorite three. 80 people die every year because they're bitten or struck by mammals other than a human or dog.
It's nice to know they have a statistic for that.
43 people die every year because of hot tap water.
Hot tap water.
How
do you die from hot tap? Okay, that one was a little bit strange.
It is possible to get tap water so hot it is scalding, and that can cause people with heart problems to, like, kick the bucket.
Well, I wanted hot water, but oh god, it's hot. I will die now.
And they have little icons representing all of these deaths, and the lowest numbered one, my favorite, 6 people die every year due to ignition or melting of nightwear, and the icon is a pair of underwear on fire.
That's,
Lights are music.
Yeah, that's super great. That would be a bit embarrassing, but honestly, how much do you have to wear before it can burn you to death? I'm thinking maybe some second degree burning and a lot of embarrassment.
Myself as a smoker, I could imagine somebody in bed like dropping a cigarette on their underwear, and if they're wearing cotton underwear, it could catch on fire.
Yeah, that's fine. But if your genitalia are ablaze with the heat of tobacco, I'm pretty sure you will do something about it quickly.
Very quickly.
Like instantaneously, and that'll be fun for everybody.
That could explain some of the deaths off jumping off of buildings.
Punched self in genitalia to unconsciousness followed by death.
Well, 120 people die every year being the rider of an animal vehicle, like a horse-drawn cart.
We are a classy, classy show. Okay, moving on from death and destruction for a few moments, I'd just like to say this is a fantastic root beer I've got here. It's Barks makes a damn good drink.
Yes, they do. I could get some delivered right now if I really wanted to.
Yeah, that's another thing we're missing out on down here. We have, like, no sandwich delivery. There is pizza delivery, but it's just not as good. And
the craft services is a bit lacking.
Well, I mean, just in general for the area.
You guys need to get yourself a Jimmy John's.
Explain. I'm going to assume that's something in Vegas with a hefty fee.
No, that's a shop where you can be practically anywhere, and they will deliver you one sandwich.
No, I guarantee you, if I go to Vegas and I ask the right person for a Jimmy John, something there will happen and money will change hands.
And it will not be good.
When I was in line at Fry's waiting to get the World of Warcraft expansion, I dialed them up and said, I'm at the head of the line at the building of Fry's, and the guy delivered it straight to me.
That is fantastic.
I
have experienced root beer.
And after that, we saw him like 6 more times because other people realized you could call him.
Nice.
I got a free coupon.
So what do you have on the news over there, Joe? I'm kind of looking over your shoulder here.
Well, we've got Walmart actually testing online grocery delivery. Looks like Walmart has started, going for what I think groceries.com was doing a few years back. I know Safeway for a while had a grocery delivery service.
Still have it around here.
Yeah, not a bad service, actually. I mean, I could definitely see taking advantage of that.
The delivery fee is expensive as hell, though.
Yes, but when you realize you can have 20 gallons of ice cream delivered straight to your door, I mean, possibilities are kind of...
Yeah, products are to include fresh produce, meat and seafood, frozen foods. Well, actually, the list is frozen, bakery, baby, over-the-counter pharmacy, household supplies, and health and beauty items. I'm going to assume there that what they meant were a number of supplies related to those words I just said.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, we're also showing here that according to a report by somebody who does reports, solar panels will actually increase the value of your home. So if you install some, you're not only getting the value of having continuous power, but you're getting the ability to sell your house for more money in today's somewhat unique market. Let's see what else is on list. Bionic leg. Apple is suing Samsung. Google is doing things. Why people are stupid. Something else.
I'm going through Fu Kung, trying to find something.
Yeah. Here is actually an interesting one. In iPad news, those of you who have them, I hate you all. It is a useless, pointless, terrible device, and I must have one. But a Minnesota school is actually issuing iPad 2s to every student.
Wow. That is a wealthy school.
Yeah, apparently they're going to be used as a replacement for books and as a general aid, but I'm...
Well, actually, you know, that cost kind of makes sense now that they're not getting books, you know.
Yeah, and...
School books are quite expensive.
Yeah, you've still got to pay for the book, but if you don't have to pay for the printing and the upkeep, and you can just hand each group that comes in a new thing, then that'll help out a lot. So, we are coming up on break time here. We will be back with you in just a few minutes. In the meantime, please enjoy this fantastic intermission. When we come back, we will have part two of the show where we'll start diving into a little bit more of the zombie apocalypse thing, some basic survival, and lots more fun for you guys. So, I'll see you on the other side. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Out of Context Theater has returned with part two.
So how do you think, what did you think about those alien detectors?
Oh, I'm buying one. That's, I mean, really, who can do without
high quality product.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I saw a couple of Russian knockoffs on eBay. Normally you turn to China for something like that, but apparently Russia has a huge market.
A lot of aliens over there.
And people are taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
So it's a Russian knockoff of a German product sold in America through an intermediary in Japan.
Sounds about right.
We're worldwide. Okay, so going back to the zombie apocalypse thing we had going last week, and we're still going with... somebody did point out that we did spend a disproportionate amount of time on defense options, and I really think they had a point, so I'd like to address that real fast by just first off saying that having a good weapon, while certainly a good idea, is really not the be-all and end-all of survival equipment. And the equipment itself is less important than... A, keeping yourself fed, and B, making sure you're surrounded by people who are like-minded and not likely to start beating you over the head with something.
That's true. You know, and in a zombie apocalypse, you know, your first thing is just to get away. I mean, survival, using weapons is kind of a last all.
Yeah, if you're using a weapon, you're doing it wrong. That is your last resort. Now, that said... has been put forth the idea that if violence is your last resort, you failed to resort to enough of it.
An interesting saying.
Yeah, but not really applicable here. I just wanted to work it in because it was hilarious. So if let's go under the assumption that the zombie apocalypse has come, you don't really have any special supplies. All you've got is what's in around your house. Now, even there, you've got a fantastic arsenal of things. If you live anywhere near a stream, even if you don't have fishing equipment proper, take a broom, take some duct tape, take a steak knife. Combine them. Congratulations, you've got a fishing spear. It's not something I'd want to fight with, but if you've got nothing else, it's something there. It'll get you food, and that's really what matters there. Mm-hmm. Also,
unfortunately, I seem to have fallen in with the group of friends who believes, and I quote their exact plan for the zombie survival, the fat man dies first.
Yeah, if you're resorting to cannibalism, you've also done it wrong.
And you will die.
Yes, no, because you are already a proto-zombie.
I'm assuming they're going to shoot me in the knee and leave me for the zombies.
Yeah, that could happen. Alternately, you could lean on them and then they would break. So, I mean...
Well, actually, you know, this brings up kind of a good point in that when you have a zombie plan, you want to make sure that part of your plan is having people you can trust.
True. Or at least having an area far away from the people you can't. That's another thing. If you have a survival cache, if you are planning for the end, be very, very careful about who you tell about it. Because, well, some people's zombie plans involve find the most prepared person I know and rob them. Then you've got... Well, then that just turns into a big old ball of ugly. Anyway, back to list of things. In your kitchen, you've got probably a bunch of stuff. If you go in there, you've got stuff on your shelves. You look for it and you think, I don't really want any of that. Then, that's a bit of an issue. If you've got something with a small engine on it, say a weed eater or a chainsaw, something like that, that can be used to attract attention if there are rescue units nearby. It can be used to eat weeds or cut down trees, both of which are helpful, though not usually at the same time. Also, be very, very careful with any kind of very loud device like that. Small generators, too. I know back when we had the whole hurricane thing going, there was an issue with a lot of generators just being straight up stolen at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, you've got a generator, we need power, we've got guns, and you've got a generator. Absolutely. How about we make a deal?
Absolutely. And there's some other things around your house that you might not think of being able to use. Wires to electronical devices make great pieces of rope.
Yeah.
String, you can tie things with them if they're flexible enough.
Absolutely. Network cabling, especially, because if you cut that open, you've got like 8 different strings of fairly strong wire inside.
Absolutely.
That can be used for everything from creating an emergency lock for a door just by wrapping it around the door handle repeatedly to something sturdy, on through making small snares. The one thing I'd really, really say go out and either spend a little bit of money on or spend a little bit of time to download is some kind of general survival manual.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the U.S. Army's because it's half pictures and the pictures are mostly useless.
But if it's all you have, use it.
Yeah, there is also a project online right now that has, I believe it's on the order of 12 gigs of documents designed for third world countries. Both as survival and general infrastructure improvement. It's everything from building wells to different forms of farming. It's basically a complete uplift guide to bring them from where they are right now much closer to our standard of living. And if our standard of living is utterly destroyed due to, for example, zombies, then this is a group of documents you're really going to want to have. It's available as a torrent, and as a torrent, the longer you leave that torrent open, the more other people are going to be able to get it from you. Can't recommend it enough, and in the third half of the show, I will have the link for that, or at least the full name, so you can look it up yourself. Now, it is a very, very diverse collection of materials. So you do need to be aware of that. You have to know exactly what you're looking for, or you will wind up with a book on, I don't know, desert goat herding, which, while interesting, is probably not what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the desert and you enjoy herding goats. I'm just saying, it could happen. So sure. If you need that book, it is available in here, and probably several more just like it. But it's mostly UN guides, things like that. Small radios can be very, very helpful. I don't know if we've touched on that before, but radio communication, especially if you've got a small group of people you do trust, it's the difference between having one person find water, one person bringing back water, and then nothing works. And if that person gets attacked and they were the only ones who knew where water was, and I'm not saying attacked like rampaging thugs or something like that, but anything as simple as like a stray dog that hasn't eaten in a couple of weeks, they are very, very dangerous. And I mean, a person doesn't need to be dead to be useless to the group, and a good radio will help a lot.
You know, and that kind of brings up another point, is that a lot of people kind of overlook the fact that during a zombie apocalypse, that there's so many other things that can kill you. Because, you know, you're lacking food, water, the proper medicine. You've got animals that haven't been fed, domestic animals that haven't been fed that, you know, are a potential threat to you. That sometimes people overlook those things. And you really should probably go out and read, you know, just basic survival. So that you'll have a much better advantage.
Absolutely. Or even if you have like a little sports horn, something loud, something sudden, that can help a lot. A spare cache of matches. It's like 97 cents right now when everything's great. But if you need fire and the zombies have been there for a couple of months, then that will be worth more to you than anything else you're carrying. I mean, with fire, you can sterilize equipment, you can cook food, you can boil water. Fire is an amazing thing, and I can't recommend it enough. It's very, very nice, especially for home use. I've heard they have these portable fire makers they will install in your own home. I believe it's called a, what was it? Stove.
A stove. Interesting. Yes. Interesting.
So you want to be very careful with those. Fire does tend to spread. Actually, moving on a little bit, if you live in a house where you got... if you're on a municipal gas supply, you can expect that to dry up pretty much instantly the moment any major disaster hits, zombie-related or otherwise. Simply because if you have a damaged building, and that damaged building has a lot of gas in it, that is an exploding building, and nobody wants that. That it's very messy. People get grumpy when houses explode. So that's likely to be shut off. So if you have an electric stove, you can seek out alternate sources of electricity. But if you live in a house where you have your own gas supply, something that's maybe resupplied with a truck once a month, then if you cut it down to just cooking, instead of like running your water heater and central heating and everything else, just cooking, that supply will last a long, long time. I can't tell you exactly how long. There are many, many sizes of tank, but it'll be long enough to do some good.
On the subject of propane tanks, not to go too far off track, because I just heard this today and it was kind of interesting. I've heard that if you live somewhere where there's a lot of snow and you allow snow to build up in your propane tank, there is a possibility that it will explode and that this does happen.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's possible, but unlikely in the extreme. That would require a tank that's already fatigued, way out of spec, and susceptible to massive metal stress. If you have a tank that meets those conditions, you should be very, very afraid. And yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Actually, I do know why that happens. Relatives out in South Dakota, one of them has had that happen. And it's actually due to the different metals in the couplers in the pipe, because they can get down to like negative 10 to 12 degrees and they weren't made for that temperature difference.
All right.
So literally, the coupler will still be pressing on the part on the inside of the tank for releasing the gas, but it won't have anywhere to go, so it'll just leak straight out. Somebody comes along, one tiny little spark, boom, whole thing goes off.
So, so a little fun fact. Yeah, if you're in the snow, keep your propane tank clear.
Yeah, and even beyond that, if you have a propane tank that's likely to explode, well, fix it.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, that's kind of important. Anyway, okay, let's see. We've gone over heating. We actually touched on strange ways to die, just exposure to cold. Blankets. You don't have any blankets, but you do have your kitchen. You can make a really quick one with just aluminum foil. It'll be ugly, it'll be loud, it'll be crinkly, and it will keep you alive. That is very important. We like our listeners being alive, because if they're dead and listening to this, something has gone horribly, horribly wrong. Or they're from the future, where that happens fairly routinely.
Also, curtains. You can take your curtains off your windows, wrap yourself, use those for blankets if you don't have them. Most houses have curtains, so you know, shouldn't be too big of a problem.
Or
carpeting. You can rip up your carpeting, use that for insulation and fashion something out of it.
Yeah, alternately, you could use, say, a blanket.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Blankets.
That would be the number one choice, would be a blanket.
But, yeah, if you're out in an apocalypse and your house is burned down and you have nothing except what you can scavenge and you need to get out of an area fast, well, those are a few things to think about.
Absolutely.
In addition to that, travel light. And that's the last bit of advice I'm going to give here. When we come back, we will be covering other things, daily news events, the ingredients of my root beer, and why I'm wearing this oh-so-very-fashionable tie. That's all when we come back here on Out of Context Theater. Stay with us. Click the button. We're back once again with Out of Context Theater. Here in the third half of the show, I hope to peak the microphone further by being very loud, very up close, and in your face with information the likes of which you have never seen before. Oh yes, we are in for a treat today. That really hurts my throat. I'm drinking soda now. So, that is not, no, we're not doing that. My oh-so-very helpful production staff here is holding up signs. Let's see, today.
Look at the message I sent you.
Yeah, that's very subtle. It was flashing, and then I clicked it. And now it's going to freeze everything because it's trying to open Firefox on a netbook that was never designed for it. Oh God, we're all going to die immediately because that is what happens on the internet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, during the second half of the news, I did promise you... No, not news. Second half of the show. We are the show. We are not the news. We hope one day to make the news. Possibly. There may be a giant fireball. That does happen from time to time. Anyway, I promised information on this lovely, fashionable, stylish clip-on tie, which I will now provide in the form... No, I will not do interpretive dance. Put that away. That does not go there. No, bad. Anyway, well, as it just so happens, I found that in a drawer this morning and decided to wear it. There you go. There's really no more to that. That's what happened. However, we do have a fantastic bit of news here, as well as a life tip for those of you watching this show and wondering what your life would be more complete if you had. How would you like to be able to make a brownie in a cup, in a microwave, in 5 minutes or less? Now, for this, it's going to take a few ingredients. You're going to need, for one, a large coffee mug. Now, that said, I've done this before. Make sure it's a cup with a flat bottom. If it's got a rounded bottom, you will have a crispy, crunchy, tender, flaky death spike that wishes to murder your throat. You'll also taste horrid, because that part will burn. It will burn like your civilization after the zombie uprising when someone forgets to turn off the gas. Secondly, you will need 4 tablespoons of flour. That's... just regular flour, not like bread flour or special muffin cup flour. It's flour. Third, you will need 4 tablespoons of sugar. Yes, it's extreme, but so are we. I really can't keep doing that voice. It's 4 tablespoons of sugar. The same as the flour, really. It's just a different white granular substance. You will need 2 tablespoons cocoa. Now, I'm not sure if this is supposed to be cocoa powder. I wound up using ordinary cocoa mix, and it really came out pretty well. Yeah. You will need a single egg, which you can either get from your local chicken or, I don't know, your refrigerator. That's where I'm from.
Someone else's refrigerator.
Yeah, you can go from somebody else's refrigerator, too. You will need 3 tablespoons of milk, which, it's just a simple measured tablespoon. It's milk. I wound up using 2%. I imagine it would have tasted better with full milk. You can even go half and half if you really want that extra kick in there. You will need 3 tablespoons of oil. That's general cooking oil. I wound up using, I believe it was canola oil. That came out pretty well. I used a little bit too much. You will need a splash of vanilla extract. When they say a splash, I'd honestly recommend something along the lines of a small teaspoon. That's really more for flavor than anything else. And finally, you will require 3 tablespoons chocolate chips. Now, the 3 tablespoons, it's honestly pretty flexible. I'd just say a small handful. And the miniature chocolate chips are going to work a lot better than the standard ones for this. They'll melt faster, they'll be in the chocolate brownie, and they'll generally be good.
I have returned.
Fantastic. We never knew you left. For the directions, you will, step 1, combine dry ingredients in mug. That's really pretty self-explanatory. If it's not a liquid, it goes into the mug. And then you stir it until you have kind of a melange of terror. Step 2, add egg. Now, I suppose I should have clarified a moment ago. When I said dry ingredients, that did not include the egg. The egg is dry on the outside, but very wet on the inside. What you want is that inside to be in that cup at this point.
Pour in the milk and oil, and then you mix.
Now, at this point, you should have something that, I'm not even going to go into what it should look like, but it is terrifying. Then you want to go ahead and add the chocolate chips and the vanilla extract. Now, when that's all together, you'll have kind of a brown, syrupy, lumpy thing in a cup. Hopefully in a cup. If you have terrible aim, it might be on the counter, but it'll only work if it's in the cup. Then you just put that cup in the microwave for about 3 minutes. You're going to want to watch it. It will come up with a little stovetop thing. It'll try and expand past the cup, but that's normal. Don't worry about it. But 3 minutes later, there you go. You have
a cupcake from a cup in under 5 minutes.
Which, it should take you about as long as this explanation of how to make it. So, what have you done in the kitchen lately?
Absolutely nothing. I've actually not cooked anything in the last week.
How's it working out for you?
Not too bad.
Okay, how about you, Brian?
I created poor man's stew, which is basically just...
Wait, are we back to the cannibalism thing?
No. it's ramen plus hot dogs plus canned meat.
So anything you have in the kitchen, throw it in.
No, with it's top specifically ramen. Canned meat.
Canned meat food product?
It supposedly was beef. I don't know. This is one of those old cans that was just a black and white label. It said canned meat.
Okay.
And then on the back ingredients, it said beef. This is like the stuff you'd expect to find in like a 1952 bomb shelter.
Would you like some meat?
Filipinos eat corned beef, okay? We like corned beef.
Well, corned beef is a little bit different than a cow in a can.
Yes.
This is a cool caffeinated baby.
Yes.
yes.
Yeah, product plug, tactical caffeinated bacon. It's
bacon. It will keep you awake, and it is bacon.
And apparently it's fairly crunchy as well. It's actually supposed to be pretty good.
Damn it, now I have to find some.
Yeah, it's available through ThinkGeek, or probably much cheaper elsewhere. But support ThinkGeek, they're awesome. Even if they are a bit spendy.
Okay, we've gone over the 5-minute mug brownie. We've gone over the ridiculous...
I can't do that voice. Yeah. I just can't.
We've gone over the ridiculous Thai jokes. We've gone over the 5-minute mug brownie. Now, we await to see what is next.
I also believe I've made the folks at home a solemn promise. Wherein I would read off the ingredients of this can. That, ladies and gentlemen, is about to happen here today. In this can are such things as carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, caramel color, sodium benzoate to protect taste, citric acid, caffeine, artificial and natural flavors, and that's not a word. There's another thing in there that doesn't exist because somebody made it up. I blame marketing. Or Now, hear me out here. You could, as an alternate beverage choice, go for one of these.
Which has in it?
Well, according to the label, ingredients include water.
Sky water.
That's it. It's only from carefully selected mountain springs.
Which means a bathtub.
Wait, Napa County.
Which is bullshitties for we had a bathtub and filled some fuckers.
Exactly.
Oh, there goes our family-friendly rating. And we were doing so well. With 3 minutes to the end of the show, we are... Well, we did
You can bleep me in the after show.
Anyway, I'd just like to say that while we did have a few setup problems here that prevented us from getting to you at the time we'd like to, we've made a lot of improvements here. We've got our new mini studio. We've got the ability to accept Skype calls with fairly good quality. We've got some new software backing everyone up, which has strange noise-removing voodoo, which...
So every show you watch is going to get progressively better, in theory.
Yes.
In theory.
Yeah, the main falling down point here was honestly us. Now, owing to assorted complications, we actually came in tonight without having a single shred of an idea of what we were about to do with 5 minutes to showtime. That's why we're shamelessly stalling now for the last 2 minutes of the show. Yes, I've just been shown the 2 minute sign. That's very good timing on my part. I'm quite good at that.
Yeah. Yes. Got the timing down.
Yes.
Are we having an after show today?
I don't know. Yes, we are. We are having a fantastic after show.
I'm trying to get quiet on this.
Okay. Awesome. Then, yeah, we will have this up and available for download at the usual place. Now, I'd also like to say, for those of you listening to us here but not watching the live stream, you can get us on Skype. Look for a Skype user, Skyak Productions. Now, we're not going to be online all the time, but when we are, we're more than happy to take questions and comments from the audience. We're also going to start accepting incoming calls next show if there's anyone out there crazy enough to want to talk to us. In addition, we are on Twitter as Skyakin. That's more for Skyak Productions proper than this show specifically, but it's all really one group, so you'd do well to watch. When the uprising comes, you will be looked on favorably. Now, we can also be reached at skyakproductions@gmail.com. That's S-K-Y-A-K Productions. Now, we're always happy to hear from you, and, we're lonely. Send us things.
I honestly think you guys should be sending your video stuff more to YouTube. I think that's a better way to get your stuff out there and let people know that you exist.
Yeah, we're probably going to start next week recording and sending to YouTube. We've got a brand new camera set up here. We're not relying on webcams anymore.
That's true.
Instead, it's a fantastic dolly-mounted tripod system that is honestly about as much overkill as you can possibly pack into one camera. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. We're coming up to the end of the episode, and I'd just like to say once again, thanks for spending these last 45 minutes with us. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.